Good morning. It is March 6th. It is Super Wednesday, the morning after Super Tuesday. We're in between rainstorms here in New York City, and this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. Nikki Haley is out of the presidential race, or plans to suspend her campaign. Has anyone ever unsuspended a campaign? Are all the suspended campaigns of the past still hung in suspense? Theoretically ready to re-enter the race or to re-emerge in some future race. Anyway, she's done. The front of the New York Times has a big triumphant picture of Donald Trump and his staffers at Mar-a-Lago. The lead news headline is Trump and Biden pile up victories on Super Tuesday. Subheadline, Haley makes no dent, which is slightly unfair to Haley. After the print deadline closed, she did take Vermont. If there were 1,000 more states, there might have been something for her to build on. Joe Biden pulled out a tie in the delegate count from American Samoa after authorities corrected a rounding error in their math. Although Jason Palmer, a tech guy who nobody outside America and Samoa knew was running for the Democratic nomination, came out ahead in the vote tally, 51-40, did the Times describe this contest with its 11-vote margin as an embarrassing loss for a president struggling to rally his party behind him? It did, but only counterfactually after the delegates had been reapportioned. But hey, we tell ourselves stories in order to live, right? So here's a story. Passing years cloud memory of Trump term. That's the second lead news column. Polarization may yield, quote, collective amnesia, end quote. This story says, polling suggests voters' views on Mr. Trump's policies and his presidency have improved in the rearview mirror. In interviews, voters often have a hazy recall of one of the most tumultuous periods in modern politics. If only there were some institution whose job was to help the public maintain an accurate picture of events. A first draft of history, as it were, or perhaps an authoritative record. Such an institution, for instance, might have picked up on last month's news from an inspector general's report that the Trump White House was awash in misused prescription drugs, with the White House pharmacy handing out fighter pilot stimulants and Ambien as if they were vitamins, not bothering with formalities like prescriptions. It was a pretty good reminder of what a chaotic and lawless atmosphere reigned on Pennsylvania Avenue for 4 years. But as far as I can tell from the archive, the New York Times never bothered to share it with its readers, let alone dig deeper, like Rolling Stone did, to get a fuller account of which drugs were being abused. Xanax, apparently. Preferring to focus on campaign stories about vibes. Speaking of which, on page A15, there is the headline, Fewer voters across spectrum think Trump committed crimes, polls find. Well, is Donald Trump overcoming one of his biggest liabilities? Well, no. The word fewer here doesn't mean fewer than the number of people who think he didn't commit crimes. A large majority of voters said they do believe Donald Trump committed serious federal crimes. The poll found that 57% of independent voters believe that he did. And overall, among registered voters, the poll found that 53% think he's a criminal, and only 36% think he isn't. Even 21% of Republicans, assessing the person who's going to be their party's nominee in a highly polarized election year, say he's a crook. So where does this fewer come from? It comes from the fact that in the polling on the question, this is only the second highest percentage of the electorate that says Trump's a criminal, and the last time they asked, in December, it was at an all-time high. The spread between the numbers is 5 points. 58% in December to 53% now. The margin of error in each of those polls is 3.5 points, which means it's entirely possible that more voters today think Trump committed serious crimes than did in December. But speaking of Trump's crimes, there is some breaking news this morning. Soon-to-be former Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who described the January 6th attack on the Capitol as terrorism that was precipitated by wild falsehoods by the most powerful man on earth, and declared that Donald Trump's actions were a disgraceful dereliction of duty, and that he was practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of that day, endorsed Donald Trump for president this morning. Neither the bald truth about January 6th, nor Trump's endless racist attacks on McConnell's wife, former Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, nor the fact that McConnell himself plans to step down, could keep the most cynical hypocrite in American politics from taking the side of partisan power. Republican voters have picked Trump, just as in North Carolina, Republican voters picked for governor an actual outright Holocaust denier and conspiracy theorist, and the party apparatus is going to fight like hell for their voters' candidates. even if, in McConnell's case, that candidate had them fleeing for their life 3 years ago. The mob got in, the mob is still in, and now Mitch McConnell says he's running with the mob, not away from it. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we'll talk again tomorrow.